for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. This is the 2016 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday evening, December the 29th, 2016. Howard Pittman is the speaker of the evening, sharing his personal testimony. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
As I saw those saints, three of the greatest truths of this Bible overwhelmed. The first thing, as I looked at them, I couldn't tell how old they were. No way as I looked at them, how old or how young they were. Glory to God, what does the old song say? In a land where we never grow old. True. There's no age in eternity. No age. Did you know what that means? That means ain't no babies in heaven. Why? Because their spirit is immortal just like yours. It has no age. When they die, physically, if they're born dead, their spirit's not dead. It's immortal. And it's at whatever size and state that Jesus was when he went home, when he opened that heavenly highway. There's no age. Hard to comprehend, you said. You ain't never seen anything in your life that wasn't touched by time, have you? Everything you've ever seen grows old. If it lives long enough or it stays in existence long enough, it's going to get old. Automobiles, tractors, airplanes, atomic bombs, whatever. People more especially. It's going to get old if it lives long enough. Well, the next thing that dawned on me was, you think you're in the depths of death? Wait till I tell you this one. I had so many people tell me, man, you sound like a fellow that landed out of a tree and fell on your head. What are those doctors shooting you with that day? Didn't shoot me with anything but it comes as a teller, not as a convincer. But if you look at it in the Word, you can see, as I looked at those saints, I couldn't tell if they'd been male or female. No way to tell. No way to tell. No age. No sex. I couldn't tell if they're male or female. What are you talking about, people said? Just what the book says. And the third thing, as I looked at them, I couldn't tell what they had been in physical life. I couldn't tell if they were white, black, red, and yellow. Because there's no race in the spirit. The spirit is ageless, it's sexless, and it's raceless. And it's raceless. Now you see, you're going to make it three times, you're going to change your appearance three times. Three times. Up there, the Bible says you will know and be known as you know and know. You just won't look like there, but you look like here. And after all, to a whole lot of us, that's good news, isn't it? But, see, just like Jesus, he was walking along the road to Emmaus. Now, how many times had they talked to him and seen him, but they didn't know who he was? He had changed appearance. Of course, when he appeared in the room, he was able to show old Alvin Thomas's scars in his hand, on his side, and everything else. So he still had his physical appearance. Bible tells us we will know and be known as we know and are known, and like Jesus is, we shall be. We shall be like he is. Praise God. Thank you. Wonderful news. Now I'm ready to go plead my case, he says, but we brought you to the tunnel. Says, see, four truths. You saw only three. Let's go back, look again. So we come back and look. And they let me look at the saints being escorted into heaven. Until I saw and counted 10 saints enter the gates of heaven. They opened the gate for them one at a time. No explanation of why they did it one at a time, but they did it. I don't know why. And then they took me to the gates of the third heaven. And I'm ready to go and plead my case. So I'll tell them, I'm ready to go in. The angel said, if you go in, you can't come out. You're going to have to stay till he brings you back. Glory to God. You know he's coming back? And you know he's coming as saints with him? He's bringing his saints with him? He's bringing them with him. And you know what else he's bringing? In his hand, a rod of iron with which to rule the nations. He's coming as the Lion of Judah. He came as a lamb and we killed him. We nailed him to a tree. We won't nail him to another. We won't cut his back open with a whip either. We won't pull the hair out of his face either. And we won't spit on him either. He's the Lion this time. And he's going to judge the people. He's going to judge the people. We're going to have to give him an account. We're going to have to give him an account. Praise God for everything. Then he told me what they wanted me to see that I didn't see. Looking, I didn't see. They wanted me to see the number of the saints permitted into heaven. The insignificant number. And they told me what I saw. I saw 10 individual saints who died in that 15-minute span of time. 10. Was the sum total of God's harvest on the planet Earth. August 3rd, 1979, for a 15-minute span of time between 4:45 and 5 o'clock. He got 10. And then they told me the hard truth. That same day, 1,950 other human beings had also died in that 15 minutes. But they went the other way. For straight is the gate, narrow the way, and few there be that find it. F-E-W. That ought to shake you to your shoes. Ought to shake you to your shoes. For few there be that find it. Can't believe that man. So they said, go stand before the gate. Talk to him and he will answer. Okay. I know how he answered. Hezekiah, I come to the gate. I began to tell him about my ministry. About all the good things I had done. About how we kept all the children. What a great preacher I had been. All the good things I had done. Total silence. No sound in heaven as long as I talk. When I finished, only when I finished, did he answer me. He spoke to me in a voice like the book of John describes that sound as thunder. As his voice came down over those gates, before his words reached me, the tone of his wrath had put me on my face and zapped every ounce of strength in my being. As he began to tell me who I was, not who I thought I was, I discovered that those two people were not even kin. Quote, the living God, to the best of my ability, help me, Lord. Quote, your faith is dead. Your works are in vain. You are a Laodicean type Christian. In fact, untold millions are living the same kind of life that you did, and they stand in danger of my everlasting wrath. No, Lord, don't you know who I am? I'm a preacher. I'm a teacher. That's not me you're talking about. I called you Lord every day. I stood in the sidewalks, went to the jails, the hospitals. I called you Lord every day. Yes, you call me Lord every day. But you never made me Lord. To call him Lord gives him a title. To make him Lord promotes him to ruler of life. Who is your Lord? But Lord, wait a minute. I stood on the sidewalk. I preached to the passerby. Opened my home. I took children into my home. I was there when you stood on the sidewalk. Preached to the passerby. I was there when you prayed for the sick in the hospital bed. I was there when you visited Jacob. I saw your works. They were all good works. They were my works. My people offer me those works every day. But your son, you know they're in vain because you didn't do them for me. You did them for a false god. Even you preach that I'm a jealous God, and I'll have no other gods before me. But Lord, you was my God. No, you called me Lord, but you never made me Lord. And then I couldn't see that false God, and he named him. The one, in reality, you have more to fear than all the other gods. But you won't fear him. You love him too much. You never believe he'll hurt you. You never believe he'll wind up putting you in hell. The God that God condemned my works for was done for. Satan's number one selling false God. S-E-L-F. Lovely old self. Because self ruled in my life, Jesus Christ had no place. Immediately, they took me away. Then let me regain my composure and brought me back and let me plead again. Now I'm ready to say amen to my own condemnation. Had he condemned me then, picked me up and dropped me in hell, I would have said amen. Howard Pittman, you're getting what you deserve, finally. You're getting what you deserved. I would have said amen. But when this life didn't matter no more to me, he gave it back. Sent me back with a message to his church. He commissioned me to go to his church, not to the world. He sent his church to the world. And his church will have to answer for that. And over 2,000 years, we've been evangelizing the church. And if we only got 10 out of 2,000, what a lousy job we've done. I guarantee if you worked for General Motors, you wouldn't get away with a job like that. But we have, so far, got away with a job like that. He gave me a 5-point message. He put a restriction on me. Restriction, I could not ask anyone to help me. I could not ask to go ask anyone to help me or to even hear my story. He said, you're going to the church. And you don't know what a church is. It's not a building. The church is the people in the building. And if I want you to go there, I want you to tell my people, I will have somebody in that church building to send you an invitation. Let's call you on the phone. Then you go. And you write it down. Because a lot of them are going to call you. And a lot of people are going to listen. Even a few of them will hear. Even a few will hear. A lot will listen, but only a few will. My testimony in this story has been on YouTube 7 years now. Year before last, we checked the count with YouTube. 700,000 people had seen this on YouTube. On YouTube alone. That was 3 years ago. It should well be over a million by now, we hope. I don't know. But the Lord says, go. So we went. And we put it out where we can. So he didn't send me, he didn't tell me to put it on YouTube. He didn't tell me to go do that. He told me to go where I was invited. So I never put that testimony on YouTube. I didn't do it. Somebody else took one of my videos and sent it up to YouTube. And 700,000 people have watched it. Watched it like that. That was 3 years ago. I hadn't counted it since 3 years ago. And it's still going. It's still on YouTube. Just Google HowardPittman.org or Howard Pittman on YouTube. You won't see it. It's on. And you can download it. You can copy it. You can copy it right off television. Of course, it's been there 7 years. Praise God. The 5-point message, and we're going to close. Point number one. This is the Laodicean church age in which we live today, where the overwhelming majority of so-called Christians, I'm sorry to report to you, are just that. They're so-called. They're mouth professors and not heart possessors. And he's literally going to spew them out of his mouth. He's going to give them time. And that was the purpose of giving me the authority to go to his church. Because he said, many will listen and a few will hear. Nobody will ever stand before him and say they were not warned. Nobody. He intends to see that every heir on earth gets the chance, a second chance, which he gave me. They, if they hear his voice, and he's using my testimony right now as his voice about thing you'll ever see in science fiction. He says if they don't repent, he's going to, well, the word he used is regurgitate, or vomit them out of his mouth. We know where we're at. We're in the same days that the world found itself, when Noah had completed his ark. Right there. Everybody on earth. Can you believe it took you 100 years to build that ark? Can you believe he preached 100 years? And can you believe that not one single soul on earth repented? Not one. For 100 years of preaching. That ought to discourage any preacher, huh? Preach you 100 years and not reach a single soul? Why didn't they believe? Why didn't one believe? Just one. Why didn't one believe? Because he was telling them in his sermon something that they had never seen. He was telling the people, water is going to fall out of the sky and it's going to drown me. They knew what water was because they saw the creeks, the rivers, the oceans. They knew what it was. But they'd never seen water fall out of the sky. It's going to rain. Water's going to fall from the sky and it's going to drown you. Stupid old man. He knows water don't fall from the sky. And he's here trying to fool us. The water's going to fall from the sky. Listen. You hear that? Way off. There's a voice saying, repent. Fire's about to fall from the sky. Oh, he's stupid. Don't you know fire don't fall from the sky? It's going to fall. See, there's a man coming, 16th chapter of Revelation. He's going to call fire down from heaven, stand behind the pulpit. And how many stupid Christians are going to say, that's got to be God, that's got to be God. Because nobody can do that. Wake up. Believe not every spirit, but know them. You see somebody call, actually stand in the pulpit and call fire from heaven, what are you going to do? Well, nobody but God could do that. Read the 16th chapter of Revelation, you'll see. The frog-like spirits are going to do that. They're going to call fire down from heaven. In the name of God, they'll call that fire down. And if you don't know the difference, you'll miss the boat. You'll miss the boat. Point number two. Your adversary is a powerful adversary whose ability the church has played down. They've turned him into a cartoon character. They pat their foot on him. We got him under my foot. They laugh at him all the way. Well, that growing lion's eating them. Swallowing. But as a born-again believer, you're to give no place in your life to the devil. No love, no fear. You respect his ability as an adversary, but you give no place in your life to him. You've been set free. Jesus testified that. If you belong to him, you've been set free. Read the 18th chapter of the book of Luke. Oh, I suppose it read the fourth verse. Fourth chapter, 18th verse. We'll get it right now. That's where he said why he came to earth. He came to set the captives free. Did you know that? He came to set the captives free. Let's see if I got that correctly. I don't know. Yeah, I guess I got so much verses in my head, I keep getting it all mixed up, I think, from time to time. Oh, that's a good 24th chapter. Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter. I want the 4th chapter. Let me see what I got right here. I want to learn that too. He came to set the captives free. I want to go to Luke. It's also in Matthew. It reads more like my language. I'll get it right. I just get it all mixed up in my head sometimes. What is it there? 18 to the 14. One of them is 18, the other is 4. I got my preaching Bible with me. I left it in the other car. Because I got it all marked. I got some of the pencil. If you can't read pencil line, you can't read that Bible so nobody picks it up. See if I can leave it anyway. Oh, Luke. I do this every once in a while. When you get 80-something years, you have those senior moments. from time to time. Now that happens to all of us. Oh, it's in the fourth chapter, in 18th verse. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now He's not talking about fine wealth, physical wealth. He's talking about those that don't have the grace of Jesus Christ. And He says poor. You look yourself at the original in your concordance. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He's not talking about somebody some boyfriend or girlfriend broke up. He's talking about somebody that's like take a knife and slash a loaf of bread back and forth. That's what he's talking about there in that particular one. Then he says, He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering the sight of the blind, to set them at liberty that have been bruised. He has set you free if you belong to Him. Now, when He set you free, that broke the authority over the devil over you. So the devil cannot command you now. This is why he's got to lie, steal, cheat, and go to you with all his wiles to get you to obey him. And if you want to see how well he succeeded in the Christian community, check the Christian graveyards and see how many of you can see that made their 120 years before they died in the cemetery. And you see how well he's winning the war. How well. We have some that come so close to making. I thought your dad was going to make it. I really believe that. I really believe that. And I was with him 30-something years every time they had this last week in December. I believe this is my 37th year to come here. You've been coming a long time, too. A long time, too. Praise God. Maybe we do have some that actually hear it. He said plenty would listen and a few would hear it. So we have to believe that we are doing some good somewhere. Praise God.
Amen.
Number three, if you ever expect to have any miracles in your life, you're going to have to live the life. Not just talk it. How do they say down in Texas? Walk it. You got to walk it. Word. You got to live it. You see, devil don't care if you preach. He don't care if you teach. He don't care if you sing. He don't care if you shout. He don't care what you do. But just don't try to live it. If you live it, you scare the pants off of it. See, that's your life. What is your life? Your credibility as a witness for Jesus Christ. That light must burn inside, behind the closed doors of your house, or even in the place where you work, as well as down the church. You've got to be a born-again believer 24/7, and you've got to manifest that light. Preach to people that know you and know your life, everyday life, when they can believe you when you talk about Jesus. Because of your life, you got a life, and you got a fight. The devil is trying hard to put out that light. He can't do it. He's got to get you to do it. And you do it simply by compromising God's words in your life. This is the way he gets compromised. Compromise. And that's what he's trying to do, to put out your life. You've got to fight him for it. Paul said, how do you do that? Paul told us how to do it. He said, I mortify the members of my flesh. How do you do that? Why, he said, I die daily. Get away from young people, hear that. What do you mean die daily? Man, this guy crazy. I put to death the members of my body. Suppose I preach to others and I myself fall away? I have to rule this house. It don't rule me. You see, the greatest enemy you ever going to meet in this battle is self. You know self. You got to control him. He's hard to control. Paul did it because he died to self. And that's not easy. So I know I've lost a lot of those battles in the years. Self rose up. Now as you go about your battle every day, you're going to make decisions every day of your life. You're going to be a victor or a victim. Victor or victim. Depending on the choices you make. Well, Satan cannot make you do it against your will. So one of his plans that works so well, I want to tell you about that plan. It works so well is the plan I call drowning. He wants to drown you. Not in water, but in problems. As many problems as he can create in your life. Through other people, through lost people, that's what he uses the world. He's trying to create problems in your life. And this is why he's trying to drown you. By doing that, he's taking away the same energy that you could be using for God. By drowning you in problems. That is one of his master plans that works, individual plan that works so well with you. How easy it is to get up in the back in the morning. My back's hurting. And the time I go to church, I don't feel like it today. I'm low down. I lay down and rest a while. Or I was supposed to go over and help so-and-so clean his yard. I can't do that today. I don't feel like it. But you done gave him your word. Oh, well, he'll understand when I tell him. Any way he can tie you down, keep you from doing, keeping your word, or working for the Lord, he succeeds. That's his main problem. He also has a plan for the nation. And you see what's happened to our nation. What's happened to our nation. National plan. God is sovereign. Everything on this planet is made by him originally. And here we are in charge of his oracles, the word of God. We're his soldiers. And look at all the victories we won. We don't believe in abortion. We don't believe in same-sex marriage. But yet, we let our government tell us we got to. We got to. We did it. We did it. Don't blame it on the people that voted for him. Blame it on us. Because we were silent while it was going on.
Amen.
One day I got a note from a preacher on Long Island, New York, telling me on such and such a date we're going to have a rally. And I wrote letters to churches all over asking the people to support it. We got an abortion clinic in that section here. We want to parade against it. So me and my wife, cold Saturday, cold day, we got in our car and we drove Long Island, New York to participate in that. One third of the population of the United States in walking distance of Long Island. You know how many people were there? 18, including the children. Where were you? I was there. Drove 1,000 miles to get there. Where were you? 18 people. What have you done to show how much you believe in his word, his law? We're all guilty. Somewhere else he got me too. He gets us all because his flesh gets in the way. It raises up before we know it. And we look back and say, now, why did I do that? Why did I do that? Now it's too late. Next one, he said, I will have me a glorious church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. I will have me a glorious church. Now, wait a minute, Lord. I know you've got some dedicated Christians, but still, you know, still, Lord, I've been traveling for 40 years now. I went around the world 3 times in that 40 years. I stood on many continents for the body of Christ. And you know, every time I go back, there's less than there were the first time I went. Those people. Now you know, but even in those, I see some spots and wrinkles. I hear people fussing in the church. I hear talking about preachers as soon as he goes behind out of the pulpit in the next room. Somebody's talking about, we got to get rid of him. I see all these things. So I know the church is not spotless. And we're coming so close to the end. How are you going to have a spotless church without wrinkle over? How are you going to get one in this world? He said, son, Matthew told me. Matthew will tell you, read about it. I sent the prophet John to tell you. He said, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent. How long ago was that? 2,000 years ago. How many ever say repent yet? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, this is he that was spoken by the prophet Elijah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel hair, and a leather girdle about his arm, and his meat, he ate locust and wild honey. Didn't have clothes to wear. Didn't have prepared food to eat. Crying a voice in the wilderness and loses his head. Oh, it's over. And he went out to him, Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region around about, and were baptized of him in Jordan. Confessing. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to him to his baptism, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meant for repentance, and think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children under Abraham, no matter who you are. The next thing he says, we receive the Holy Ghost. We receive the body of baptism. Next, we're going to get the fire. Yonder comes the fire. The third and final baptism with which he's going to clean up this little church. When the blaze goes out, you're going to have no spots, no wrinkles, no blemishes. The fire is that hot. How do you purify gold? You take the ore and throw it in the fire. And it runs through the fire. And it melts the gold out of the ore. And the gold comes out the other side and you look at it. Oh, still got some of that ore in it. You run it through the fire again. You might run it through a half dozen times before you have pure gold. But let me tell you something. If you think you're going to heaven, you're going to have to be pure gold before you get through. Pure gold. That's how they make it. It's not easy. I mean, it's not hard. It's easy. He said, in his kingdom are 30, 60, and 100-fold producers. That's born-again believers. That's real saved people. But what does it say? Think of that. What did I just say? That says 2/3 of the Christians are slackers. They're not doing their job. 2/3 of 30 and 60-fold. Only 1/3 is 100-fold. 100-fold. 2/3 is not working. What does it take to be a 100-fold producer? Paul told us. Bible tells us. Whatsoever your hands find to do, do it with all your might to the glory of God. And you're a 100-fold producer. Let's take an example. Suppose he calls you and I to come over to this mountain. Both of us. He said, now, climb that mountain. I want to see it top. And we go over there. And we give it everything we got. And you can make it to the top. But I can't make it. But halfway up, I give out. And I can't go no further. Why? We're both 100-fold producers because we both gave it all we had. We did our best. That's all God asked you to do to be a 100-fold producer. Do your best. Whatever you do for God, do it with all your might. To His glory. I know a man that worked for this airplane plant up in St. Louis for a long time. He was in the office making up payroll. All that kind of work. He's looking at the people outside that worked online. They make 3 times as much money as he did, working by piece. So he tries to get transferred out of the office to the line. Finally, they transferred. He goes out there. He's out working a full day for a man next to him on the line. Comes over and said, "Hey, slow down. You're making me look bad. Slow down." He said, "I'm not trying to make you look bad. I'm doing the job to the best of my ability." He believed that what the Bible said. Whatsoever your hands do, do it with all your might to the glory of God. He's doing it to the glory of God. I look, fella, I'm not trying to make you look bad at all. I'm doing what is my normal work. I do the best I can wherever I'm at. That's what you're paying me for. No, you're making us look bad. You've got to do something. He wouldn't do it. His father kept on. Finally, one day, the union representative comes see. Said, "Hey, you're making everybody in here look bad. You've got to slow down. You've got to slow down." He quit. Went to preaching. Never quit that. Finally, the Lord called him home. But this is what God wants us to do, to be a hundredfold producer. It's to do our best. He'll never require us to do anything He didn't equip us to do. You're not accountable for doing something you can't do. You're not accountable for selling everything you own, giving it to the poor, and going on the feet, unless He calls you to do it. You have to be called. Praise God. Will you stand with me just a minute before we close? I don't know how you feel about what you're doing. I cannot judge you. This is a hard message for the physical ear to hear. I don't pretend it's not. It is a hard message for me to hear because they think it's so hard. What happened to Israel when they wouldn't obey God? He scattered them around the world just like He said He was going to do. What happened to America when we turned our back on God? When we okayed the very things that God called for abomination. Vile, we let our legislators, we let our lawmakers cram it down our throat. We let the highest court in the land tell us we had to obey it. The laws that God called an abomination. We did that. But we got together and the Christians really, really started praying. God hears the prayers. But He let us go for 8 years for a reason. He showed us how it felt and how it's going to be. Praise God. But what He said here in His word was that if we call upon Him, He will hear. If we come to Him, He will save us. He said in His word, He's got to have preachers. And if man don't preach, He will send the angels. He's got to have preachers. Because that's the pathway to the cross. The hearing of the word to get bring the people there. Now, as I told you, we're in Noah's second day. That was, excuse me, that's the one I forgot to tell you. That's not me. We're in Noah's second day. Meaning that we need to keep our eye on the eastern sky because He could come in any day. Every prediction that has been predicted by the prophets for the days of old have already been fulfilled at least once, some of them even twice. So we're standing on the verge of Him coming any time, at any time. We have all kind of predictions of terrible things that's going to happen during a tribulation period that's supposed to come upon the world. Some people say it's already been started quite some time. It may be right. I don't know. I don't know the day and hour. No one knows the day and hour. He simply said we can know the season. And we are in that season. That's part of the message that He gave me. We're in that season. He spoke the word, spoke verbally to me, that said, "This is the Laodicean church age that we're in today." Read it in the third chapter of Revelation. You see what the Laodicean church is. It's a bunch of hypocrites playing church. So that don't mean everybody. But He said, "I was. I was a hypocrite playing church." And He says, this is the church age in which we live today. And that's the last church age. Many years ago, we used to have a preacher that talked about seven ages. It's going to come. He used to come here all the time. Great man. Come here and talked about that all the time. He's done died. He's gone to heaven too. So, this is the delay of the sea in church age. When the overwhelming majority of so-called Christians are just that, they're so-called. Why? Because they've been deceived. I call it cotton candy religion in a lot of preachers. what I call a cotton man candy, but what is cotton candy? Do you know? It's hot air. That's what it is. And that's what I call a religion. It's being preached to many of the churches today. Cotton candy religion. It's hot air. Hot air. That's all it is. Praise God. Tonight is started. This could be the last day of your life. Do you know that? Could be. He could be here tomorrow. He could come for daylight. You know, I was speaking in a church in Seattle, Washington. It was on Whidbey Island. Whidbey Island is the second largest island in the United States, second only to Long Island. It's located offshore Seattle, Washington. I was preaching at this church, and I gave an altar call in. An old lady sitting in the church rushed up to the altar and fell before them, right in the open, and just started wailing as loud as she could. God, pray for me, pray for me. I knelt down and prayed for her to the best of my ability. Never could get her to stop. But finally, when it was over, her parents came up and talked to her and everything. She talked to a few people, and then the people started leaving. She's parents told me they were dumbfounded. They couldn't understand why, because she was nothing. She lived nothing but a chaste Christian life all her life, and they thought everything was fine with it. We never did find out what had happened to her that night. Because when she stepped out in the parking lot, a car hit her and killed her as she was leaving the church that night. Did God warn her? We don't know what happened. Nobody knows what happened. But I know she fell down at the altar crying, pray for me, pray for her. And we did. We don't know what's outside that door. You don't know what's here tomorrow. You don't know what's here tonight, even. All we know right now, you have an opportunity to commit your life to Jesus. Would you like to be one of His soldiers? Would you like to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Revelation chapter 13 says in verse 9, the only people that's going through that door must have their name written in the Book of Life. 7 through 9, Revelation 13. Read. Your name's got to be in that book. If it's not in that book, you're not going through the door. Your name has got to be in that book. You want to make a commitment to Jesus Christ? He said in the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew, if you reject me in this life, if you deny me in this life, my Father will deny you in the life to come. Do you want to deny Him? Or would you like to confess Him? Would you like to tell everybody that you belong to Jesus? That you know Jesus? That your name is written there. I want to say a prayer tonight. The prayer of repentance and the prayer of thanksgiving. If you've never repented, or if you think you owe God a thanksgiving, probably you forgot to thank Him today. Especially when you got up this morning. Did you thank Him for the night that you had last night? Did you sit down to eat a meal without thanking Him? Has that ever happened? Oh, it's happened to me. Several times I forget. Of course, I got an excuse. I'm 88 years old. I'm allowed to forget. But you don't. You don't. Tonight, I'm going to say that prayer. If you want to just confess it before me, lift your hand to heaven while I pray. And that tells you everybody's looking at your hands, and you're confessing Jesus before your neighbor. Right here, you're confessing Him now. If you want to thank Him, we'll thank Him too. Father, we thank You for this opportunity to come and lift up Your name before me. For You was lifted up on that cross for us. And because You voluntarily lifted Yourself up on that cross, we stand here tonight, clean by Your blood. And Father, as we lift our hand to heaven, we ask You, come into our lives, save our soul. Yes. You said in Your word that if we believe in our heart, repent with our life, You will save our soul. Father, this night, I do believe in my heart. With my mouth, I publicly confess You as my Lord. I know, Father, that many of us here in this building tonight is trying to hide from You some things in their life. For this, Lord, I confess that I also have been guilty of the same thing. trying to hide my commitment to you from some people. Forgive me, Father. We ask for forgiveness. And we ask that you show us every trap the enemy sets before us. Expose him to us. Give us the courage, the strength to overcome and defeat him. We believe that you will do this because you said if we believe, if we repent, you will do this. We thank you, Father, for this precious salvation. We thank you for the guardship. We thank you for your protection.
Yes.
And we thank you tonight for the miracle of Donald Trump. In your name we pray. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.